Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Prepare yourself! Prepare yourself!
You're listening to the Rat Kill Hardcore Radio Show. I'll say.
Well, now you can forget about going to the amusement park.
Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the Red Pill Hardcore Amusement Park. And I'm getting Bill in the butcher shop and everything. And as always, we are open for business. And opening for business means we will take your calls at 512-248-8252 or 800-313-9443. Call us. Give your opinion. Get involved. Let's overthrow the government. Let's do something. Okay. Hey, Ted, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. Spent most of the day reading Madison's essay, which was the Federalist Paper number 10, which is a defense of the constitutional approach of using republicanism as a form of government. And so my brain's all fine-tuned and ready to go. Any subject that you want to launch forth on, I worked on our homework assignment that we got from Frank. Wasn't Gregory.
Frank.
And I did, manage to find a connection between Queen Victoria and the Kentucky Derby and Jack Daniels. But it's all one degree of separation stuff. For instance, Queen Victoria was a horse racing fan, and her favorite drink was a mint julep. Woodford. Jack Daniels, which is part of the Woodford, it's really a Woodford product. Jack Daniels sent her one of their first bottles of whiskey ever, and even though he said he never got a reply from anybody over there, he's pretty sure somebody was pretty well satisfied with the bottle. So that's the, you know, I know the mint julep is also the official drink it's a custom of the of the Kentucky Derby, and there is a Woodford Room, which is up in the, you know, like a skybox to watch the horse racing from, and they drink Woodford blend mint juleps up there. So. So those are the connections that I was able to find. I suspect that he's the connection he's looking for. There were just too many records of slave names and the owners of those slaves. But they used slaves as jockeys in some of the early Kentucky Derbies. Emancipated slaves, And I suspect that that's what he's looking for. He's looking for some connection between that. You know, another custom of the Kentucky Derby is the black riders. So they honor the black jockeys. You know that had been jockeys who won who were winners. And just, regular jockeys in the Kentucky Derby. So I suspect that's what he's looking for. I suspect that there's going to be some slave who is, or slave owner that's connected to Kentucky, the Kentucky Derby, or maybe the name of one of those slaves will be separated by one degree from Queen Victoria one way or the other. But wow. That's what I've been doing today.
Well, I was watching YouTube videos on how to get a softer stool. You know.
Have you guys gone out and shot Pam's gun yet?
No, not yet. We're gonna have to. It's a Smith & Wesson though. I'm saying it's a Smith & Wesson.
Is that right? Because you gave me some kind of oddball name.
I thought it was. Told me it was a Smith. It was she dipped in and spent the money on a good one, you know. And I'm sure I haven't seen it. She keeps it hidden, you know, and everything.
You don't know if that has a rail on it or not?
No, I don't know for sure. I I'm a revolver guy, but she went to automatic deal and all that.
One thing that I did do today that got me out of the house was a friend of mine opened up a new gun store today. And, he retired and he wanted to do something he liked. But he borrowed a number of my guns, to put in his shelves, and behind the counter, you know, I've got some unusual guns and, to just for customers to look at and, you know, get their interest and, you know, well, you get customers talking, that's when they buy a gun.
Right.
If they come in, they see three or four guns, they're going to turn around and walk out. They want to go somewhere there's a lot of guns and browse them. So he's not going to sell any of my guns, but he's going to use some of them to decorate his place with for a little while. And I can certainly do without them. I can certainly do without them. So.
Yeah, me too.
I'm still pretty jocked up.
Cold weather blew in up here, so my knees are screwed. I run out of my turmeric. I got to get a bottle of turmeric, so my damn knees hurt, and my feet hurt, and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I got to get through that and everything. I'm not dying or anything, but you know, you drink coffee and don't drink whiskey anymore, which is really what you need. And
that's the thing about getting old that gets me. I'm not kidding. You get used to, Billy and I have both drunk our fair share of the whiskey and y'all's too. And at one point we looked at each other and said, man, we got a drinking problem. And so we decided to quit. And, you know, after about 3 weeks of not drinking, Billy said, this sucks. You know, and I said, yeah, he says, I don't feel any craving for it. It's just that I miss it. It makes me feel good, and I like that. And so we went back to drinking again. And then after what happened to you, you just, when you moved up there to Tennessee, Tennessee, you'd think it'd be full of whiskey. But it's really kind of hard to get a bottle of whiskey up there where he's at. So you're a ways from the liquor store.
Yeah, way down the road to Paris Landing, where the nearest liquor store is up here. You got to really go down there. But I tell you what, there is one thing, like, you know, when you've been broke pieces like I have, your knees swell up and your feet hurt, weather changes and everything, and you know that one shot of whiskey will cure, right? The flight that gets you. You know, you take that one or two shots, and boy, I tell you, I don't know why I don't do this every day. after two or three more shots, you know why you don't do it every day.
Real quick. Well, you know, your blood pressure goes up.
Like a rocket.
Yeah, all the stuff that, you know, that goes along with age. So I feel a lot younger when I don't drink. So I don't drink. I drink once a month. Which Donna sort of jokes with me and says, "Well, that keeps you from getting a big old stack of 30-day chips. You know, if you'll just drink once a month, you know, you won't go down to AA and get a 30-day chip every time. You know, so." you know, I can imagine the look on a guy's face about the fifth or sixth time you went in there and said, I need another 30-day chip. But I drink once a month, because there is nothing that goes with, spinach enchiladas, like a margarita. I mean, without the margarita, it's almost profane, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like having the communion with Cheetos instead of, you know, the flesh of Christ. So,
the reason I drank so dang much is when we went through that 10 years without the family. You know, there's something to get the
COVID. You're waving that phone around again.
The COVID pandemic came along. And I've been with our family for up to 10 years and everything. And there literally ain't nothing else to do. It ain't like, I'm craving that whiskey and I got the shakes. It ain't nothing like that. It's like, well, there it is. You know,
yeah.
Always there.
There goes another boat down the river.
There goes another boat down the river. And
yeah.
Good pour it in the glass, but hell, it's already in the glass. I'll just turn up the bottle. Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought that rail up on that gun is that while I was down there, I helped him stock, you know, put some stock up, and he's got some of those Green Viridian laser sights that have got the flashlight with the real bright flashing light that goes or a steady shining light, and it's got a Green Viridian or it'll flip over to a red dot, and those things are. If you put that thing on the rail of a pistol, I've got a PMR 30, which most people don't think of right away when they think of, you know, what's a real accurate gun. But instead they think that's got a 30 round magazine, you know, for a pistol, which is a lot for a pistol. For most pistols, and
warms the barrel up just a little bit there, yeah.
But I am telling you, I've got one of those Viridians on my PMR, and that thing shoots sub-minute of angle at 70 feet with a sight on it. And Pam could use. I mean, it'd help her a lot if you got that thing sighted in that close. You know, she wouldn't be shooting at anything 70 feet off anyway. You know, she'd probably use that thing only in a situation where she was, you know, 10 feet or less away from whatever it is that needed shot. All she has to do is put her feet, you can mount it right next to the trigger so that all she's got to do is put her forefinger on that, or her index finger, I mean, her middle finger on that sight, and she can use the trigger to fire with, or just put the dot on it and take her finger off of it and shoot it, you know, real quick. I mean, it would be her trying to learn how to shoot with front sight, you know. Although she was, now that I think about it, she had to get certified with a weapon when she went to work. Didn't she? She worked for the Coast Guard for, in fact, she retired
Coast Guard
from that.
And she was a cop in Belton.
Oh, so, you and I both have wives that have been cops.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I'll tell you the funny thing. They didn't have an officer there to certify her when she took her her Belton certification shots. And she had this Colt 38 special, police special. She couldn't hit nothing with it. I took the damn thing and shot it. Bam, 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 bam. She had a perfect score.
Well, and some people are better with revolvers than they are with semis, and you are a revolver. You like revolvers, and they like you. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with
you
that.
You know, I'll tell you a gun I was impressed with. I was living over there on Metropolitan with all the wannabe gangsters. You came in that day to show me some stuff. You brought in that machine gun shotgun.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Boy, you talk about religion descending on a. Well, what is that? What is that? And you had that special sight on it. When you look through the scope, you could see the red dot, but then nobody else could see it if you didn't look through the scope. And you explained to them, yeah, it's a fully automatic shotgun, 12 gauge, you know, with buckshot in it. I mean, oh my God.
Woo. Yeah, old Jay looked at that thing and said, please put that thing away.
And it's going to. Put that up, please.
Want it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came straight from work to your house, is all I got to say. That's actually not one of the guns I was able to take over to Rick's place, because he's got his class one license, but you've got to file some kind of paperwork to move that thing from where it is to, like, if I wanted to take that thing out of state, I'd have to file a document to do that. Yeah, people, you know, we all talk about our Second Amendment rights a little bit.
We go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead and do that because it. You know, you get that, like you said, people don't understand what, people that don't know guns, you're talking about the class one and all that kind of stuff. Now, there's a, if you want to own a fully automatic weapon, you have to file all kinds of paperwork, and it is ridiculous, okay? I mean, first off, you got to file that you own it. Where's it going to be? Where are you going to take it? Who are you going to shoot when you get there, and what's their last name, and who they're related to?
What I don't like is they can come to your door anytime they want to and step right on in and count your ammo. That's one thing I've had them do, had them come over and just step, you know, come right on in and count my ammo that is designated for that gun. And they can examine your weapon. You don't dare take it to a range. Most ranges will report the use of it. So I like to use mine, you know, more often than, you know, it's funny to me how easy it is for most people to get their hands on a pretty deadly weapon. I think an AR-15 is a pretty deadly weapon.
Yeah.
Any kind of assault rifle is a pretty deadly weapon. Anybody can, I know after that Las Vegas shooting thing, they passed the law. But anybody can bump fire. I mean, you know, anybody.
Well, you know, something, Ted, that always got me. First AR-15 I ever shot was that one you had way back when. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing
back
I did
in the Threat Apart days.
I don't agree with their philosophy all the way, but the liberals who want to outlaw all the guns and all that kind of stuff, they say, and then the conservatives say, it's not an assault weapon. Well, it damn sure is, you idiot. You know, I mean, anytime you got 30 shots, and it'll shoot every time you squeeze the trigger, and it's got that kind of accuracy, you can assault something, okay?
That thing had four shooting positions on the safety, and all you had to do was drill a little hole and push a pin out, and you could just, because all that thing was a M16 with a pin in it. Looks like we got a commercial.
We got a commercial.
California has gone completely crazy with its environmental policies. We already know that California has banned the sale of new gas-powered cars by 2035. Last week, the California Public Utility Commission voted unanimously to remove subsidies to builders who are installing gas lines for new construction starting in 2023. Also last week, the California Air Resources Board approved a proposal that would ban new gas-fueled furnaces and water heaters in homes by 2030. In short, California is now attacking clean-burning natural gas. The state that has rolling blackouts every summer and tells people not to charge their electric cars is trying to eliminate every alternative to the unreliable electric grid. California is actively trying to send itself and its residents back to the 19th century before electricity with no alternatives. Until tomorrow, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Got a wild hair stuck up my ass, and I took me a trip to Break Heart Pass to see what the term forbidden love was for. My wife hauled me into district court, and I paid that doggone child support until it come out my ears and I couldn't stand no more. A few years later, I got straightened out with a pretty young wife and a real nice house, but it seems she's got this ex-husband up in Arkansas. Well, he weighs 312 on a real hot day, and he thinks I took his big ass to raise. I call that boy my Arkansas husband-in-law. Nah. What started out to be a helping hand cost more than aid to a foreign land. I'm supporting the People's Republic of Arkansas. But all them gomers are related, you see, and they're all waiting for money from me, payable through my Arkansas husband-in-law. I know it sounds just a little bit wrong, but it's been this way for so doggone long. The son of a bitch thinks he's on some kind of a pension. He never misses a visitation, but he waits with eager anticipation for anything he might bring to the court's attention. He ain't had a job since he got discharged, claims the army sprayed him with Agent Orange, so to top it all off, he's a poor downtrodden vet. So I hold up his kids and his old lady. He sits up there in Little Rock sucking gravy, poking them groceries right on down his neck. It's got so bad that when I die and I'm standing in line to tell them why, there was a good excuse for every time I'd fall. St. Peter's gonna tell me, patience please, the Lord will see you, but right now he's a playing checkers with some fat guy from Arkansas.
boy, I tell you, that song always cheers me up, man. I made some coin on that one.
By the way, bring back to the good old days.
Hey, that was me on the banjo in the end, by the way, and everything.
I asked you who did the banjo on that.
That was me. I did a slow Foggy Mountain breakdown on that, and as a tribute to my third ex-wife, you know. Yeah, life was rough out in the West. Hey, when I pick those songs, I go through my repertoire and everything, and I have to find them. They're fairly clean, you know, because I got some stuff out there. you would be amazed when people hear a song and like they never heard it, and you tell them, "Yeah, I made a little money on it," and I never heard of it. It wasn't on the hit parade. It wasn't on the. There's a lot of people in Nashville that make a lot of money off of songs. You never hear from them. Never hear. You know? But it's out there. That was part of an album called Weird Wilbur Rides Again. And just type that in your scroll bar and pick whoever publishers you want to buy it from. Because it's out there. Everything. I think I sold 154,000 copies of that album. So anyway, you were telling us how to shoot people with an AR-15, kid. Please continue.
No. I was just saying, guns are easy. Have you seen that series 11 Minutes?
No.
It's about the Las Vegas shooter, and it don't get no more graphic than that thing. I'll tell you, and. That old boy, I mean, he cleaned up. He shot more than 1,000 people, and he didn't kill them all, but he killed about 400 of them.
And, well, he was just spraying. He was spraying is what he was doing.
He was using
bump stock. Yeah, bump stock is not very accurate, and he was just spraying the area. And people, and you know what gets me about these? Anytime you have a mass shooting like that, I always hear the police saying, and the police are looking for a motive. A what? He's crazy. That's his damn motive right there. He's nuts.
Well, they followed the cop in this series and very closely, and they did a good job of finding where he was at. I've got a new theory, not theory, but my head is different about Uvalde, because when they located him, there was a bunch of cops in the hallway there. And he had
a crowd of cops. A crowd. Yeah,
he had rigged a camera to the door lens to the door, and the minute mm-hmm. those cops started to move toward that door, he'd fire both those bump stocks at the same time through the door, and you just couldn't get. I mean, there wasn't getting any through it. If you went into that hail of bullets. You weren't coming back. That was all there was to it.
They literally
had to wait until he shot himself. So, I think we got another commercial coming.
I think we do. Y'all go buy some of our stuff, man. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD, consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curves, yeah, flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will. Making their way, that's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Doors off on that one. I want to let y'all know we have a genius over there in the control room, Mike. And Mike, I picked that song that I wrote naturally, the one right before that and everything. But Mike, he picks a song that goes along with whatever we're talking about. And as you can tell, we swing a little bit more Texan
in most cases, because Mike's in Austin and all that kind of stuff. But we think, you know, without Mike, when we got a hold of this job, Ted and I were just kind of like figuring it out as we went along. And we finally settled on this format of conversation, like what we do every day when we're plotting our course through the entertainment industry and everything. But boy, without Mike, we'd be lost. Mike, you're a good old boy, Mike. You're a good old boy.
He sure is. He's got a great big old vault full of music that I really love, too. So
I tell you, he does. He does. And, that's why we let it play through. Because he'll pick out something that's just so dang good. You know, I say, I'm going to go ahead and let this go to the last chord. You know, my favorite Waylon Jennings line in any song you ever did was about, you think this outlaw business done get out of hand. And there's one line in there that's so good. It says, the cars rolled up, the boys got out, and the room filled up with law. I love that line.
Yeah. Oh. It didn't really get to its peak until David Allan Coe rolled out of prison, though. And when they went down there and got him out of prison and got him involved, there are some songs that are on my playlist that will never ever get bumped off my playlist, and if that ain't country, is one of them.
So, oh yeah, let me tell you a David Allan story. Mostly. He was living in a cave with like three wives, he was.
I know, you know which one of his chairs not to sit in.
I went out there and Michael Lee told me, said, this guy's two bubbles short of plums. I said, doesn't matter to me, you know what I mean? Went over there and he says, he's going upstairs again. He said, now y'all go ahead and take a seat. I'll be down in a little while and everything. And all of a sudden, he just stiffened up and he pointed to one of the chairs. He goes, but don't sit there. She sat there. And he walked out of the room.
Oh, man.
God almighty. Yeah, but he was a cool guy. I saw him actually do a show. I seen him do one show in Killeen, of all places. And I didn't realize until I saw him play that he played most of his own leads. That twangy guitar, that's him playing, you know. And he played most of them. And when he does, there's two types of live shows. There's a concert where they pay you big money. And then there's places where you stop in a place like Killeen and you do a little short show to buy gas for the bus. And that was what that show was. But you get a little sample of each song, maybe a verse or two, and then they go on to the next song. And he actually, some girl, I guess it was my wife, was singing backup with him. And he turned around and kicked at her and said, this is the part where you're supposed to sing. Oh, man.
That sounds like Cher in that movie, Cabaret. I know, what was the name of that? That might have been Cabaret. No, might have been Cabaret. Yeah. That sounds exactly like him. He's just so him. He's his own flavor.
Well, he wrote. There was a fire up in Hendersonville, just north of Nashville, and he actually ran outwards from he ran to the boat docks and actually jumped out there and loosened some of the boats and saved several boats, braving the fire. You know, and after that, at a party, he said, hey, David, you ought to get a job with the fire department. You're pretty good. And he said, no, you take that job and shove it. Guess what song you wrote right after that? And
yeah.
He wrote the song for George Jones, but George didn't show up for the recording session. Big surprise. And he was sitting in the hallway, and Johnny Paycheck walked in. What you got there? I got a song I wrote for George. He didn't show up. Well, can I look at it? Hell, you can have a son of a gun, you know. And he threw it at him and walked out. And as we know, Johnny Paycheck recorded the song, take this job and shove it. You know, when you work on the square, that's another reason I don't name drop a lot. Because when you work on the square, Music Square is about the size of a small town square. It's no more than two or three blocks long and one block wide. And everybody who is in country music and other types of music like rap or anything
are right there, because down 16th Avenue, just like the song says, is where everybody generates to, and they try to go there and get a start in the music business. And it's really simple. People who are around the country, they'll record a song, and they'll do a demo, and they'll mail it in there to a publisher, and that's guaranteed it's going to go into a trash can right there. It's, you know, throw it away. But if you're making your rounds on Music Square, and you drop in, and you drink their coffee, and you say, show this around if you can, there's a fair to middling chance that your stuff will be listened to, you know. But it's a real close-knit community. You'll bump into people like Marty Stewart. I bumped into him several times. Johnny Carter Cash was a friend of mine. I played shows where he sent them up, and we didn't get paid. We got to eat, like we do a hotel show, and we get to eat on the food bar. I did a show in Pennington's Lounge for the homeless cats of Nashville. No food. The homeless cats of Nashville. And I sung a song called Spuds McKenzie for President that I'd written. And I got paid by getting to go to the food bar and eat. So it was an interesting job. It was interesting. That's the reason I don't name drop a lot, because a lot of these guys won't remember who you are 20, 30, 40 years later, you know. And but still, when I tell a story, it's usually right down home true.
Oh yeah, and you know, you can't do what you did for as long as you did, and talk about your work without saying names that, you know, some petty people would accuse you of name dropping. But my gosh, that's like them talking about people at their work and getting accused of dropping names. I mean, you know, those were the people you worked around, and you know, when you want to tell stories about your time and something like that, which, you know, it just comes natural to us to want to tell stories about the things that we did that, you know, that we're either proud of or we had a good time doing or whatever. You know, you're going to talk about whoever it was. And if you say, well, some guy named, what's the matter, that doesn't bother anybody, but you say Johnny Paycheck, and somebody goes, oh, there he goes, dropping names again. Well, sorry, you know, but that's who it was. You know, that song was not written or produced by or sung by What's the Matter You. It was sung by Johnny Paycheck, and it's a story that Billy knows. So that, you know, it's like
Travis Tritt got into an argument with a publisher. Down on 16th, everything, got shot in the belly with a 38, and he walked to the Baptist Medical Center, and I mean, just walked to and got, you know, and then removed the bullet and all that kind of stuff and everything. And later on, somebody said, "Well, dang, Travis, how in the heck did you walk all the way to the Baptist? It's like four city blocks to the medical center." Well, you know me, when I'm drunk, I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof. You know, and he wrote the song.
Yeah, that's. Who's that big old boy that I can't think of his name right now. My head is full of James Madison tonight. I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't have been reading it that thing as close as I was, but you know, James Madison was a brilliant man, but he had an idea for the way that America ought to be. And it was going to be that way, and he felt that if he wrote down all the reasons that he did what he did, like we wouldn't, he invented the Marine. That the Marines came into existence under him, but he felt like America needed a military, and the other founding fathers fought him tooth and nail on it. They didn't think we needed a standing military. They thought that was a formula for disaster. And so he showed off a number of different kinds of uniforms, and they said, no, we're not going to have a standing military. So he said, well, certainly we need a Navy. And they were like, well, yeah, you know, we probably need a Navy. So he just trained them guys to be soldiers, too. And that's where the Marines come from. That's how we got Marines.
We got an honored guest. Mike, come on in there.
Mike from Kentucky, y'all.
Hey, I was just thinking Dolly was the one that invented all them cakes, right? Dolly Madison?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's more important.
She's up there baking up the storm.
No, it was Sarah Lee, man.
Army marches on its stomach, so Dolly Madison fueled the Marines with all her baking.
That's right. That's right. While he was running his ink well dry, she was there baking a whole bunch
beating
of
the army. She's baking.
Right.
There's 1,352 guitar cases in Nashville, and anyone that unpacks his guitar could play twice as better than I will.
I think that's my grandson's here. What's really bad is when you play a simple song like that for these little Z generations, you got to explain every line to them. Every line.
No, they don't have any history.
It is kind of complicated because there's 16,821 mothers from Nashville, and all their friends play music. And they ain't up top if one of the kids will. The
kids will.
Yeah, the kids.
See?
If the kids will, then they're not up top. But
no, yeah, he's got it down. He's been listening. He's been listening.
I got a chance to say a word about the music and the mothers from Nashville. They play as clean as country water.
Don't they?
Wild as Mountain Dew. Nashville Cats been playing since these babies. Too. They've been working before they was two. It's kind of hard to believe you can get in down there to get stuff listened to the way, you know. I've promoted Nashville music locally since 1997 or so, March, April, somewhere in there. They asked me to start doing an afternoon music video show. And I had a lot of teachers that watched after school, you know, after they got in bus rooms and stuff after school, you know, so they got stuck doing, you know, how teachers are. They end up working way more than they get paid.
Oh, boy.
And then I had a lot of youngsters who was like, how are you getting these songs before they're on the radio? And I tried to explain. I said, Nashville, you know, I had Sony, Aristo Media, Bullseye Media, I forget what it was. Some of them, you know, are disbanded now, but they all sent us stuff way before it ever went on the radio. And because of that, sometimes we got stuff that actually got censored by Clear Channel Media. Like, I don't know if you heard about what happened to the Bellamy Brothers when they re-released that song.
I often wonder. Tell me about that. I know something happened, but folks,
they released a song,
everything.
Called
I don't know what happened.
Go look up the song Jalapenos. And okay. it was charting. It was going up, and they had scheduled a domestic tour. But Clear Channel Radio banned it. And so they canceled their tour dates and went on a tour of Europe because they didn't like the idea that Clear Channel Radio, they play, you know, the radio plays all kinds of smut junk, you know. But the reason I think that it got banned is because Clear Channel Radio or iHeartMedia it switched over to, they didn't like the subject matter. The lyrics are, what you do and say today, it'll never go away. It'll just come back and burn your ass tomorrow, just like a jar of jalapenos. And this came out before the Snowden leaks, if I remember right. I need to look that up and see. But I got that early. I also got a song which a lot of and what's his name, Kelso, on here plays it all the time. But it sounds like Trump got all of his campaign talking points from a Merle Haggard song that pretty much got banned from radio airplay. And it's called America First. Let's get out of Iraq and get back on the track. Let's rebuild America first. And it came out at the tail end of the W administration, right? So,
yeah.
But I got the video, but I got calls because I played it for years. I mean, I played that thing, can't probably count, 2007, 2008. I had it on 3/4 tape. And then when downloads became a little more easier to do, I got a program called 4K Downloader, and I went and grabbed a bunch of this stuff that was on three-quarter tape. My machines all quit working. I couldn't find anybody to fix them, the three-quarter tape. I had a huge library of tapes. I tried to get Nashville to take them back. I got a buddy that brought a U-Haul truck into Kentucky from out west, and I was like, you want to take a trip to Nashville? I could load all these tapes up and take them down there and let them have them, because there's techniques to take these broadcast cassettes, and there's rare videos that people don't know about. They're good songs, you know, but you could do what's called line doubling and techniques to make that fit a 16:9
right,
screen.
Right.
It looks good. It's better than DVD quality when you do it.
Was that three quarters? Was that eight tracks or four or what?
Well, three quarter video. It's a big huge cassette.
Video.
Originally, okay. If you ever watched was it Bob Crane from Hogan's Heroes? You remember? Mysteriously. He had those early versions of that. It was originally called U-Matic broadcast video cassettes.
Oh, okay.
And
it first came
out, they were in black and white originally in the early 70s. Now, obviously, that predates me, but in that movie, you can see they made about Bob Crane and the mystery. He started making porno with these, you know, and got himself in trouble with a guy who may have been bisexual or some crap. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the movie, I'm trying to remember who plays him. The same guy that's in the Clear and Present Danger movie. That runs the, it's the same actor. He calls in the Easy Rider. Easy Rhino, he calls in the munition that blows up the drug cartel. I just can't remember the actor's name. Anyway, he plays the antagonist to Bob Crane in the movie about him. And they use those three-quarter broadcast cassettes early. Then they go to color, and this guy had color vision problems and lost his job at Sony or 3M or whoever made the he was a salesman for them, and that's how he got hooked up with Bob Crane. And they started making pornos. They got some kind of trouble, and then Bob Crane, you know, gets found dead in a motel in Arizona. But anyway, those broadcast video cassettes became an obsolete format probably around 2008-09. And some of the Nashville labels started sending me DVDs. And then they started, we had horrible, I'm in the targeted town of Kim Davis in Moorhead, Kentucky. We have horrible internet. Until very, very recently, the competition has finally forced them to start offering fiber optic. Meanwhile, in all the surrounding rural counties, the rural co-op has had fiber optic for years. You know, and you can get, in certain parts of Moorhead, finally you can get a 1 gig down and 1 gig up for your business last year, and they started offering it for residential this year. But I'm out in the middle of nowhere, still on the last mile of copper, about 4,800 feet of copper between me and they call it a miniature switch, I think, is what they call it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I started downloading like that one video from Merle Haggard called America First. You should listen to that sometime, and you could find, and you can immediately see why the CIA connected Bush regime wanted that banned from the radio, because it was a really good video that showed the infrastructure crumbling. And like I said, Kelso plays it on his song, you know, it's the Trump phenomenon. Mm-hmm. But there's so many Merle Haggard fans that haven't heard it. It's like that one song that he sings. The record label got really PO'd because he recorded a song called White Boy. Just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. And Merle Haggard's got more than a few songs raised the record executives' hair on the back of their neck, you know.
I put out one. I'm going to do another album sometime this year. Right now I'm tangled up with this movie, but the same guy that's doing the movie with us, Vic, was my original producer in a lot of my stuff. And I've got another album called, it's going to be called Weird Wilbur Live with Uncle Nasty's. It's going to be cleaner than Weird Wilbur Rides Again, but
I had one on there because I think I'll stick to beer after this, and I dropped a couple of bombs on there, and they told me right away I had to ride around it, you know, a little bit, and I did. And I got a, there's a middle part. It took me 15 years to write this song. It started out as a real simple little ditty about, you know, you get drunk one night, make a fool out of yourself, and you say, you know, I think I'll stick to beer after this, you know, and all that.
You're breaking up really bad.
All right, well, how about that? Am I better now? Am I better now?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Anyway, it's about 15 years after I initially wrote the first part, had a friend come over who was an old biker, and he was an architect, and he got in a fight with his old lady, and she threw him out for the weekend. So he brought all his architect stuff over to the house because he had a job to do on Monday, and he told me the story of why he had been thrown out, and I took what he told me almost verbatim, with all the biker language, and I wrote the middle part of it, which was a spoken part. It was a, well, I met a little lady at a party last night. I drank a little whiskey. I was feeling all right. She said if I was texting, she could really get in me. So I told her I hung like old cool to pinky. She told me she was kinky and she liked different strokes, and so I knocked her in the head, tied her up with a rope. And anyway.
Well, that funky told her
you was hung like a what? The word kind of got garbled a little bit. You told her you was hung like a what?
I said, she said if I was texting, she could really get in me, so I told her I was hung like on Kunta Kinte.
Oh, Kunta Kinte.
Yeah,
from
yeah.
Roots.
Yeah.
From Roots.
You know, now from the original line was deliciously different, and the producer said, no. Okay, all right, we'll change that.
There's a lot of people don't even know who Kunta Kinte is, but hey, did you?
That's why I got away with it.
Yeah, James Earl Jones' voice has now been artificial intelligence engraved, where he can perpetually be used by the Star Wars franchise. I've been wondering how long that was going to be. Where, you know, if you have enough recordings of your dad or grandpa, he could be Siri in your phone. He can. You'll have a conversation with your dead
yeah.
relatives. That's coming, I'm sure. And, you know, what they won't admit is that they've been doing voice-to-text since the early 1970s, so they've probably got all of our voice prints for decades, including a lot
yeah.
of dead relatives in those extra.
Yeah, we got one coming up. Hang on, man. We'll be back. We're going
okay.
back on.
Cities are under siege by the United States government to quell the domestic terrorist threat. All residents of urban neighborhoods and cities are being ordered to stay in their homes until the threats are eliminated. If you disobey orders, you could be shot on sight by rogue agents, federal forces, and domestic terrorist militias. This is your emergency broadcast system. This is a national alert. Imminent threat is nationwide. You must stay in sight of your homes or risk being shot on sight. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance. This is your emergency broadcast system. The conspiracy is upon you. Your conspiracy friends were right all along. Now you must learn to survive. If you hear this, you are the resistance.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.